Please turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching the model prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. Teaching His people how to pray, what is acceptable, what is good, how our prayers should be governed and outlined. So today we're looking at the phrase, "Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors." Also can be translated, "Forgive us our sins and trespasses, as we also forgive those who've sinned and trespassed against us." I'd like to read chapter 6, verses 9 through 15 this morning. "Pray then like this," Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, honored be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors and those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." A couple things I want us to see this morning from the text. Number one, the need for forgiveness. The need for forgiveness. The request that He is teaching them implies that we need it. If Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray, and He says, "You need to ask forgiveness of your sins and trespasses," then it implies what? We are sinners who trespass. We need the forgiveness of God. The words here, depending on your translation, can be transgression or debt. It can be a debt. Now, the idea of debt brings us to financial understanding. The idea is we have a debt that we have accumulated. We have spent, and we owe someone something. So the idea is God, as a holy and perfect good king, requires perfect justice from His servants. And because He requires perfect justice, we owe Him perfect obedience. But who can bring that to the table? No one can bring the perfect obedience that we are obligated to bring to God because He is holy. So there's the problem. God requires perfect obedience. We are to give and are obligated to give Him perfect obedience, but no one does, nor can they. Therefore, we have a debt to divine justice that must be paid. Jesus teaches, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." The need for forgiveness. Just look at a couple of passages that hit home with this. I hope I don't have to labor too much to convince you that you're a sinner. But we will let God speak and see what He says about our sins and about man and about our condition. Would you turn to Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3. Probably most of us here are familiar with Romans 3:23. We know that one. We understand that one. We've been taught that probably since our youth. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But Paul gives more explanation to our problem and our need for forgiveness. Back up a little bit in Romans chapter 3, and let's start in verse 10. As it is written, quoting from the Old Testament scriptures, none is righteous, no, not one. Not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So Paul is saying not a single person does what is right, does what is good, but everyone has become worthless and turned aside, and no one is seeking after God. No, not one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In the past, they are ruin and misery. In the way of peace, they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. You see what he's doing? See his argument. No one does righteous. No one does good. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. All are worthless. No fear of God is before their eyes. And our mouths are stopped before a holy God because his law condemns us. And the whole world is accountable unto him with a debt we cannot pay. We need forgiveness, which is why Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Next, we see not only the need for forgiveness, we see the duty of forgiveness. The duty of forgiveness. We are required to forgive. Now that stings, doesn't it? We're okay with asking God for forgiveness. I blew it continually, day after day after day. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But when we slip over and start talking about we also are required to forgive others, then boy, now we're getting very, very personal. It is our duty to forgive. There's no other option for the believer. You need to hear that. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are required to forgive your brothers and sisters when they sin against you. You mean just let them off the hook? 70 times 7, let them off the hook, according to Jesus. You don't know what they said, preacher. You don't know what they did. You don't know how they've made my life. If you do not forgive them, your heavenly Father will not forgive you, according to Jesus. You see, it is our duty to forgive our brothers and our sisters when they sin against us. Now, I want to share something with you this morning. I have the perfect illustration for this teaching. How many of y'all believe that? Well, y'all are laughing. I don't really know. That's a good thing because you know that I'm not perfect. I have the perfect illustration for this teaching. You know how I can say it's the perfect illustration? Because it is a parable of Jesus. So I'm going to give you the parable of Jesus Christ regarding the unforgiving servant. Matthew chapter 18. Would you turn there? Peter has just come to Jesus. How many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven. Jesus says, 70 times seven. After Jesus says this, he gives a parable about forgiveness. So our children, listen closely. This is similar to the playground school setting that we had in children's message. Listen to what Jesus says about forgiveness. Chapter 18, verse 21. Peter comes up to him and says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to this. To a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle the accounts, one servant was brought to the king who owed him 10,000 talents. How much is that, preacher? That is an unpayable amount for a person in a lifetime. Put your mind around it. So think millions and millions of dollars you owe someone, and then you think, well, I can never pay all that back in a lifetime. Precisely. The king says 10,000 talents. This is an amount that no one could pay in multiple lifetimes, which is the point. So he owes him, the servant, to the king, 10,000 talents, 25. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had so payment can be made. Not a good day for the servant. Him, his wife, his children, in prison till the debt is finished and he can't pay it. Verse 26, so the servant fell on his knees, imploring the king, have patience with me. And I will pay you everything. And out of pity, mercy, compassion for the servant, the master and king of the servant, released him and forgave him the debt. Good news. It's recess time. The debt is clear, forgiven, by the mercy of the king. But in verse 28, when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. About 4 months' wage, so a little more than 50 cents. 4 months' wage. And he seizes him and begins to choke him. Now, Cooper, I didn't choke you, buddy. I just grabbed you. All right? He grabs him and he chokes him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. That sounds familiar. Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused, and he went and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master, the king, all that had taken place. And then the master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, the master, king, delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. King James Version reads, he delivers him to the tormentors until the debt is paid. The point, verse 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The duty of forgiveness. It's clear to see in the parable what's going on. And we're all reading the parable thinking, what a stupid servant. What an ungrateful, wicked man who just received a debt-free record that he could never pay. And he chokes a guy that owes him something. And even when the guy pleads, he refuses. Now, what does the king call that man? A wicked servant. A wicked servant. You see, the point is this. We cannot presume upon the Almighty God for mercy and grace and forgiveness daily if we are unwilling to forgive someone else. You cannot do it. If you are unwilling to forgive a brother or sister, you are showing the mark of a hypocrite. And that hypocrite in the story is cast into prison or the tormentors until the debt is paid. And guess what? He could never pay it. Perhaps a reference to eternal punishment. You see, we want and love to hear that God forgives us. But we must look at our lives and ask, am I forgiving others as Christ forgave me? If not, you are a hypocrite and you will be cast out on the last day. Period. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Are you saying that if I forgive someone, I then earn God's forgiveness? Nope, and that's not what Jesus is saying. God's forgiveness of you is not dependent upon a work of your forgiving someone else. No. The point is, forgiven hearts who have tasted the mercy and grace of their King, who has wiped their debt that they could never pay, clear. Hearts that know that grace will forgive. They will. And some of you need to hear that. Whatever bitterness, whatever resentment you have toward a brother or sister or anybody who sinned against you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if He forgave you when you did not deserve it, you forgive them even though they don't deserve it. That is the mark of a disciple. And that is a painful lesson to learn. I'm not saying it's easy. Peter never saw it coming either. 70 times 7 is a lot more than 7. The point is that God, in His abundant mercy, has chosen to forgive us at the cost of His Son. And let me tell you something, you don't deserve it. There is no one righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. No one seeks after God. There's no fear of God in our eyes. We don't deserve it, but God has done so anyway. Therefore, we forgive as we've been forgiven. You forgive and leave the rest up to God. That's what you do. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You forgive them and you leave them to the Lord. But you forgive them. Believing that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. You forgive them as a follower of Jesus because He's forgiven you. Now let me tell you something about unforgiveness. Number three, the torment of unforgiveness. The torment of unforgiveness. In the parable, this is probably a reference to a final judgment kind of scene with eternal punishment because the guy could never pay his debt and the tormentors have him. So in the parable, it's certainly implying final judgment. In the words of Jesus in 14 and 15 after the Lord's Prayer, that's possibly also a reference to final judgment when God will not forgive if we don't forgive. But practically speaking, hear this. You show who you are. And if you are a bitter, resentful, angry, complaining person, you are showing who you are. You are showing that you know not the mercy and grace of God. You know not the freedom of being debt-free when it comes to your sin. Bitterness will kill you. It will entangle you. It will destroy life in you. So whoever you need to forgive, you need to forgive. Because when you let bitterness and when you let resentment fester and grow, it's going to entangle and it's going to get harder and harder and harder. But when you behold Christ on the cross, when you behold Christ on the cross, do you hear Him say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He is on the cross suffering the wrath of God. He is taking the cup of God's anger for sin and sinners, and he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Last, the glory of forgiveness. The glory of forgiveness. Two references, because I want to leave you with good news. I want to leave you with good news. Would you turn to Colossians chapter 2? Because there is a glory about forgiveness. The need of forgiveness, the duty of forgiveness, the torment of unforgiveness, and the glory of forgiveness. The question we ask ourselves here is this: on what grounds do we have forgiveness? On what grounds do we have forgiveness? Because we got a big debt and we can't pay it. What grounds do we have for forgiveness? Are there any?
Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Back up to 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Do you hear that? We who were dead in our trespasses, God has made alive together with Christ and has forgiven us all our trespasses. On what grounds? Verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Guilty. That guilty debt record is canceled. Verse 14. This he set aside. How? What instrument? By nailing it to the cross. Your debt, large as it is, is nailed to the tree. That is good news. Your record of debt has been canceled in full, forever. Forever. You are dead. He has made you alive in His Son. And with all the debt of sin you bring to the table, He lays that aside. He nails that to the cross, forgiving us all of our trespasses. All. So you come to Jesus with all your debt. He has nailed. Why would you neglect so great a salvation? Why would you neglect so great a salvation? There's nothing left for you to do. There is a glory of forgiveness. On what grounds? The very Son of God and His blood. Because you know why? His record was perfect. And not only does He take your record away that was sinful, He gives you His record of righteousness. So that when the Father looks at you, what does He see? He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your life. That debt is gone, and He sees it not because His Son paid for it. And He gives you a debt-free righteousness that you can stand before Him and say, praise God, I'm forgiven. Oh, isn't that good? There is a glory of forgiveness. But listen, you really need to understand that if you have tasted that, you got to respond in an appropriate manner, and you got to forgive your brothers and sisters. Whatever debt they bring to you, you forgive them because He has forgiven you. So, Father, we pray.
praise you for the debt that is paid that we could never satisfy. But your Son has. And my prayer is that young and old, this morning, this moment, would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who nailed their sins and debt to the cross, and that they may have life today. And for my brothers and my sisters that you've given me charge as their pastor, for my brothers and sisters before me, give grace and mercy and power unto them that they may forgive. We must forgive. God, help us. Help us to forgive one another as you have forgiven us in Christ. In the name that is above all names, we pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We're going to have a time of response. I'll gladly receive you and pray for you. Manning will gladly receive you and pray for you.